I'm loving the pop off.
What's good? Welcome back to the Pop Off Podcast, a conversation show about scandal. It's been a scandalous week in pop culture. We're talking sports, movies, music, everything in between. I'm Ralph Campiano. I'm your host. I'm joined as always by my co-host Mike Cerrone. And we're back with the two degenerates of the Pop Off Podcast roster, Peter Campiano, finally. Nick Bordenaro. We're back in action. You know, it just sucks, P, because the first one we did together with us four was brilliant. It was one of like our most listened to pods of the month. People were loving it. They were eating it up. Got a lot of funny texts from it. Where have you been? Do you have an excuse for yourself? Because we've talked shit about you live on pod, all three of us. So it's time to come up to the batter's box, bitch. Where have you been?
Man, I've been there. I've been sucking dick.
Knew it, dude. I knew it.
I've been sucking dick late at night.
You've been at Diddy's house.
You've been bent over at Diddy's house.
No excuses.
Or at Shady Oaks with Slick Rick, the father.
Good. I'm happy to be back here with you guys. You guys are great dudes. I'm ready to have a good pod. But
I'm not a great dude.
Okay, maybe not with that hat.
Between the four of us, I think we're 25% Italian each. So this podcast is 100% Italian.
I'm way above. I'm about 80-90% Italian.
A lot of vowels in this podcast, but Bordy, you alluded to it, the first topic. So it's been a scandalous week, right? We had the Netflix show drop with Drake Bell. We've had the Shohei Ohtani scandal going on. We've had Jonte Porter. But I think we got to start with Diddy, because despite all those three being celebrities in their own rights, Jonte Porter being at the lowest part of the brim, people know him as Michael Porter Jr.'s brother. I think Diddy's probably still the most famous out of that quartet of dudes. And he's not as like prevalent in like pop culture now. Like when I think of P. Diddy, the first thing that comes to mind isn't Biggie for me anymore. It's Ciroc. Like I think of like vodka and him being like a businessman and a mogul more than I do a rapper or a producer even. So when the Diddy news came across, you know, you keep your head in the trenches, Bordy. You're all over Twitter. You love scanning this shit. Can you just give us a brief walk down of what's been happening with Diddy over the last few days?
Yeah, man. I mean, it felt like I was just with Diddy last week, hanging out in Miami, but
it's still a little limp, huh?
That was a while ago. You know, those days are behind me, but behind me literally, but Diddy had some accusations. He's obviously, he's been sued by a few different women this year, basically for sex trafficking and manipulation and stuff like that. And now he's getting hit with the full court press, as they say in the lawyer
sex trafficking world.
Yes. Yep. RICO charges, all
and they
sorts
didn't practice
of stuff.
This so, preseason.
No.
there's guys running around. They're calling timeouts.
You'd be surprised.
They got no timeouts left.
You'd be surprised. I think Diddy just does a have a plan. Sale. Knowing Diddy, he's got a plan, you know. I mean, he has killed some of the most powerful artists of the past 25 years.
Wow.
It's almost stamped at this point.
Heard it here first.
He has done some terrible, terrible things. I'm sure it is as
bad.
Did
he kill Paul Walker?
Maybe. No, he's not in the Fast and Furious movies, Cerrone. That's ludicrous.
Oh shit!
And ludicrous is alive and well. But no, to Bordy's point, like this has been floating around for a while. There's also a lot of rumors. You know, it's usually the guys that have been around for 25 to 30 years, like Usher, P. Diddy. Like these guys have like these weird things floating around them. And now that it's coming to fruition, it's like, oh, fuck, dude. The guy that made Mo Money, Mo Problems is like actually like the picture of him. I think TMZ had it. TMZ's all over all of this bullshit. But he's just like walking around in Miami outside of the airport, just like looking scared.
That's what I saw. What the fuck was that, dude?
Dude, I think that these
guys.
Did
he flee the country?
He's trying to.
I think he just sent his plane down there. Because everybody was like, oh, he's going somewhere where there's no extradition. Like, nah, I think he doesn't want his plane to get seized. He doesn't want his PJ to get taken by the government. So he's getting that out of the country. Like, you know, at the end of the day, he's a mogul. He's probably a billionaire.
Yeah,
he was one of the first. Yeah.
Forbes reported him close to $1 billion. But like in the pictures of like the seizure at his house, you know, like when that happens, I like to look at the vehicles that are pulling up. They had like freight trucks pulling up. So that's how you know they have shit on him, because they're ready to collect all this evidence. If they only thought it was going to be like a minuscule amount of things, they would have just brought like one like cargo van and that's it. But they had like semis worth of shit.
Yeah, I read something.
I looked up his address.
The feds that raided his place or whatever. I'm not sure what branch it is of the FBI or drug enforcement agency, but they have like a 90% prosecution rate. Like,
Jesus,
you better lawyer the fuck up.
I think we need to tag Bordy as our new sex trafficking expert. Just have him just up to date with all the sex trafficking that's going on.
Be a great title. That could be in your Insta bio too,
Bordy. I think so too. Sex trafficking expert.
I like that.
I think big deal, man. It's a big fucking deal. Like, why do all these like powerful people get put in these positions? Like, it's
because they have so much money, they don't know what to do with. Their next best route is, I'm loving the pop off, I'm loving it. That's it. I mean, it's it goes from, I'm just saying, I mean, it is. It really is. Think about it, dude.
Somebody not honest about it, because
it's either pickleball with the boys or just Drake Bell.
Why can't they just go play golf like the rest of the 70-year-olds?
One or the other.
Don't have a pot to piss in, you know? Just play as much golf, boys, until you die. Don't be diddling kids.
What a warm welcome back to the pod for P, just coming in and talking about underage ass.
Been a lot of dick with Diddy for Peters.
So I think we've extended our Diddy conversation. Let's move it into Shohei, because the Ohtani thing that's happening right now. You know, growing up, I've never been a big baseball fan, but Pete Rose is always somebody like one of the most famous baseball players of all time, right? And he's always the conversation around him is, why isn't he in the Hall of Fame? Because he was gambling on his own games. I want to start with this with Ohtani. This is a guy where he is the modern day Babe Ruth. Like, he is the LeBron for baseball right now. He's the best player in the world, plays both sides. We get all of that, right? I've been thinking about him in comparison to Michael Jordan and the way that Michael Jordan, allegedly, the way that his gambling addiction was handled. That 2-year hiatus, that retirement that he had, there's a lot complete of conspiracy theories floating around that it's a cover up for his gambling incidents, right? Ooh. And I thought about this more than ever. If you remember in The Last Dance, Jordan was doing that thing with a quarter where he and like the team manager were flipping the quarter against the wall and they were trying to see who could get closer to the wall.
Yeah.
There's a video that surfaced. I showed Petey and my dad today of Ohtani in the dugout. And I think it's a baseball, right, P, where they're just like throwing it up onto a step and they're trying to see how close they can get the step to the wall. And it's him and like, I think it's his interpreter who's in the dugout with him while they're doing it. And he wins and he freaks out. He's like, let's fucking go. Like, this is the best day of my life. Yep. And you just know he won like $25,000 on that baseball toss right there. So Cerrone, like, all right, let's say this happens to, let's say you're an Angels fan, right? Or let's say this, let's put this in your shoes. Let's say Lamar is going through this right now. Okay. What are you like doing as a fan if Lamar is doing this? Are you defending him? Is that your first route? Or are you like, prosecute him, get him out of Baltimore? I can't have this shit. He's throwing games.
I'll take it into even a more personal matter. If DJ Burns right now was caught up in a gambling scandal,
he's taking his overs
or something, taking bets. First of all, he's a rich man because I'm riding all those picks. Second of all, I don't know. I'm kind of a, you know, being a Ravens, I kind of like that. I kind of like the, I don't like the clean cut, the Kirk Cousins, the Brady's. Give me a little bit of controversy. As long as you can get it done on the field or the court, winning solves everything. So yeah, if you're going to get a cop in some scandals and betting and all this bullshit, I don't think it'll be anything much for Ohtani, because it seems like a lot of this shit just washes over. But yeah, keep it a little bit more low key. Fucking figure it out. Keep it quiet. But I mean, shit, man, we all gamble, we all bet. Like, I'm kind of liking it. Give me a little bit more exposure. Give me some bad news, some good news. I think it's fine. I don't really. It doesn't bother me.
You would have thought he could have kept it quiet because nobody thought he spoke fucking English. But apparently, he's just chopping it up with dudes in English now. Like, apparently,
an issue.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. That's like Stevie Wonder. Apparently, that's like when this guy does not get. He doesn't understand English, so the only like translation he's getting
now.
Yeah, the only translation he's getting is from his translator, and that's the fall guy in all this. Apparently, the translator racked up over $5 million worth of betting debt and stole the money from Ohtani to pay it off. makes zero sense at all.
See, then
these guys have been friends for years.
Yeah, but the interpreter knew that he could steal it, because then if he would ever fucking try to catch him and bring it to the light, then Ohtani would get fucked too.
You know what I'm saying? Was he betting on Ohtani's games?
Yeah, so that hasn't came out yet. It is
a lot of parlays and guys slip.
I think it's an offshore book, so it's not just like as available as if it were like a DraftKings or a FanDuel. But
if he's down 500 grand, he hasn't been betting on NC State. That's one thing clear.
But it just all seems a little.
It was always NC State.
He can't. He can't.
It's on my line 24/7. Wait till I get the jersey in.
But you're saying that it was on an offshore books, Bordy. So like he's going like back to like Japan, and he's putting like it in with somebody over there versus
that not be the original traceable thing
on DraftKings. Okay,
he first kind of made it sound like he knew about it and he paid off his translator's debt, but that is also a huge no-no. And so they backtracked on that a little bit. It's kind of what broke the first day. They were like, Ohtani kind of knew about it. The dude didn't steal the money, but. Then they backtracked on that because it's obviously a bad look that Ohtani's paying an offshore book fucking $10 million.
How many people are doing this debt? Then? Everyone's got to be doing this, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
So many people got to be doing this. Like, these are just the people that are getting caught, right? Like, it's like with Diddy.
Well,
he just got caught. Leads into our next thing.
It leads into the next scandal. Scandal. We needed like a break in. And it's. Go ahead and take this
scandal.
One away because
scandal, rape, kidnapping, murder.
There you go. PD handle the sound effects for you.
Yeah, we need Dick Wolf. We need Dick Wolf to produce it.
Yeah, right. All right, so I think that's interesting because I think Ohtani has probably been betting on things that he can't control. And now my observation would be that I don't think as many athletes are doing this as we think because I coach with a guy and I asked him like, hey, do you ever gamble on games or anything like that? And he's like, no, I don't bet on anything that I can't control. And I think that's what Jordan did too. He wasn't addicted to betting on random D2 games. He was addicted to betting on golf, poker,
competing,
blackjack, competition. He's addicted to like sacrificing money to other people because he thinks he's better than everybody. So it's a competitiveness thing. Because Ohtani, I don't think he's betting on himself, whereas Pete Rose was always betting on the Reds to win. Now, Jonte Porter, who is a backup power forward / center for the Raptors.
He was betting on himself to be a piece of shit.
He was betting on himself. He was taking the unders.
I wish I could bet on myself to be a piece
of shit. Fuck. That's the most un-American thing I've ever seen, man.
So DraftKings reported that there was a weird amount of money going in on Jonte Porter unders. And it's like, who the fuck? Like, even Ralph Campiano in Des Moines, Iowa isn't psychotic enough to take the ninth man's over-unders. But Jonte Porter had a lot of action on him. And there is a visual of him hitting a three at the top of the key. He's like, fuck it, I'll shoot it. And it looks like he's trying to miss. He banks it in from the top of the key. Okay, just bank shots.
Pull that shit up.
And then as he's going back, as he's back trotting, you can see the look of disgust on his face. He's like, fucking damn it. He's like, I'm 3 points closer to my over. The over is like really low. Like the over-under is like 4.5 points. And it's like, you can't pass up a wide open layup, which he might get as a guy in the dunker spot for the Raptors. So
making more money betting against himself on his unders than he was probably making his NBA contract. So
I think his NBA contract is probably like at most $1.5 million. And you can fact check me on that, but I think that's where he's at. It is, man. It's like that lack of confidence in yourself.
Yeah.
You're missing the most important part. Bank shot. I don't even know if that's a game really in question where he was like a high bet on prop. The two games where it was kind of suspect where all the money was on him, he literally subbed himself out both games. One game he said he was sick, and the other game he had like a lingering knee thing, and he left both games after like 3 or 4 minutes of play time.
That's crazy, man. No other team's taking a chance on him.
He was so fucking smart doing this too. He's like
how much could he have possibly made though?
Right, that's my thing. It's like, is he putting his entire game check on this? Because, all right, so let me think about it from his perspective. His brother, Michael Porter Jr., you know, number one recruit going into Missouri, had back issues, and then he ends up overcoming all of that. I think he's more than that. I think he's like $32 million a year, something like that. And Jonte's the older brother, and he played at Missouri with Michael. And he's probably looking at MPJ, and he's like, how do I get some of that juice? He's like, you know what? I'm not going to do it by shooting 40% from three like my brother is, but I sure as shit can brick a couple of shots and take myself out of games. So I'm not saying that's okay, but I'm just saying that's the perspective that he's probably dealing with.
Who's worse, Jonte Porter? Who's the worst brother, Jonte Porter or Jello Ball?
Jonte, easily.
Yeah, I don't know. Question. What kind of question was that?
Well, yeah, but like, Jello didn't even make it to the league. Wasn't he like stealing from like a Nike store in Japan or something? Isn't that what ended his
at
career?
Getting in the gym, trying to get better. This guy's just fucking.
At least, yeah, Jonte is trying to get it out the mud, you know, trying to make it on his own.
You know what actually sucks about this? Shit. Is I don't hate Jonte as a player. When he was playing earlier in the season, he definitely wasn't betting on himself because I was watching, or he definitely wasn't betting against himself.
Yeah.
Because I was watching him, I was like, oh, dude, this is a small ball five that can like play point forward. Like he's a pretty good passer for a 6'9 guy. Like he's beefy. He's not built like Michael at all. Michael's like really lanky and just camps around the 3-point line. Jonte's like all right, so if you know Draymond Green is Coke, Jonte's not even Diet Coke. He's like Diet Wright's little sister. Like he's that bad. But he's like still pretty solid for an NBA player, right? Like for a basketball player.
That money, that NBA money.
So he had
just
a chance
to
make it in the league.
That NBA money too slow.
Even now, he's going to check him up. Yeah. Or it'll probably get washed over.
Do they get paid bi-weekly? Jeez,
I think
so. Fuck, man.
Yeah,
they got the nerve to go out and bitch about their lives.
Right. Yeah.
Like they're getting paid.
World.
They're getting paid on Wednesday and Sunday. I get paid once a month. It's fucking.
If you're fucking lucky, only
half of it's an oyster crackers.
TikTok only pays me every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I haven't gotten Bordy's take on the Drake and Future beef. So let me get that really quick. Just give me a minute on Drake and Future. I want to know where you stand. If you give a shit about it, the Kendrick verse. Give us the whole rundown.
As you know, I was completely out on this beef. Right, I was kind of clowning on you for being invested in it. I'm like, this shit's tired as fuck. Like. Drake's always beefing with somebody, and Future's Viv's 30, and Future's a 40-year-old pathological liar, has five kids that he doesn't see. But reading up, I actually saw something today. There was a lot of stuff on Drake's last album that kind of went like over everybody's head, and then somebody brought up the Kanye clip where he's just ranting about some crazy shit. He's like, Drake gonna diss you and you won't even fucking know until 2 weeks later. He's like, it goes so far over your head, you don't know, the fans don't know, but it makes you itch, you know? But
not
yeah,
overnight
so,
shipping.
It takes a while, but it takes a while to, you know, hit you. But just a lot of bars from Drake's last album just I kind of miss that were shade at Future. I don't know if you remember any
they
of
went,
them, Viv? But...
They went way over your head, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, it's not just for all the dogs. It's also on Her Loss, too. Like, he's apparently taking a lot of steps.
Yeah,
on Her
nobody,
Loss.
Nobody caught it when Drake was coming out with this shit. And then Future comes out with this, and still, I don't think anybody caught it for like a few days. I think it's just kind of now people are going back to this and like, wow, this kind of like, there's a lot of parallels between these bars,
yeah, no,
per se. It feels like Future's album was literally made just for Drake. Like, I didn't like it at first. I'm like, this. He's going back and forth a lot of topics. He's not talking about shit. He's like, I still got Molly. Like, we know you've had Molly for 20 years, Future. Like, it ain't going to change. Why are you making this? And obviously, it was kind of all a beef back at Drake.
Yes. I mean, the album being called We Don't Trust You, the first like explanation for that for me was, all right, yeah, that makes sense. That's the most famous producer tag in rap right now. If Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. So it all added up. And I'm listening to the project. It's funny. I was watching somebody on TikTok like kind of like go through the album. I like to see people's reactions to it. And they're like fast forwarding it, or it was like a fast forwarded version of their album listening session. And they're like bobbing their head and they don't even realize it's all directed towards Drake. And I was the same way. I'm listening to it for the first time. I'm like, okay, yeah, he sneaked this in somebody. I don't know who it is. Turns out it's Drake. And when I know all of those words to Her Loss. Like, I think I know every song on Her Loss by heart. So that means inherently I was also sneak this in Future when I was rapping along to all of those
you
songs.
Know
it's
it.
Like, didn't even realize it.
But honestly, they're all such weak sneak disses. Like, what can you give me one diss of substance from either of those?
Let me do some research really quick.
You were talking about behind my back to this BBL thotty. Like they're just just kind of sassy.
At that point, it's just kind of petty. Like you're just kind of a white girl, you know, saying some fucking fruity shit. How about you be like, oh, this Drake that, like he's got a tiny dick, and then just drop the mic right then and there.
Well, that's what Kendrick Lamar does, right? It's like Drake does the sneak dissing, which Kanye was not complaining about, but elaborating on. And then Kendrick comes in, and it's very explicitly that whole verse is just directed at Drake, like the whole single thing. I mean, even on Control, like the most famous, like, I don't know, not even rap beef, but just like, I'm here to state my claim as the best rapper in hip hop right now, verse of the last 20 years. He name drops ASAP Rocky, Mac Miller, I mean, anybody, J. Cole, Drake, like Tyler, the Creator. He literally name drops every single rapper on that. So he's like, he's confrontational. He wants this. And there is a rumor right now, actually, that Drake is going to be on some dude's fucking album this Thursday, and that's going to be his response. So he's going to be featuring on, again, I don't even know who the rapper is, but he's going to be featured on that guy's album with his response. Kendrick did it on the event album of the year so far, Future. Like, Future is still one of the five biggest rappers alive. It's going to get the most streams. It's going to be number one on the Billboard. This album that Drake's going to be featuring on.
God, that says something elevated about society, doesn't it? Future's album is going to be the most streamed.
I mean, that happened in 2017. He went number one back-to-back in 2017. What do you mean?
No, I mean, that was also 6 years ago. Like, we're not going to compare it to that, but Future music in 2024. I'm not, like, dissing it, but that just says a lot about the state of men. I mean,
you get tired. There's another album that dropped that same fucking day.
What would Andrew Tate's album do?
I see. Nobody knows what you're talking about. Just don't let this guy get going.
He just said nonsense.
And you look like Lucas.
I get it.
You look like 50 Cent down there, man. Yeah, you look like 50 Cent and a Raiders ad. That's who you look like.
AB, I gotta say, it's some crazy shit.
You have an Antonio Brown Raiders jersey on right now?
Yep, $10 at Shields after he quit the team after a week, baby.
Wow. That is amazing.
There's our sex trafficking expert right there. Yep. Wearing an Antonio Brown jersey.
In uniform.
There he is.
Ready.
Fucking maniac.
Imagine someone pulling a badge out of their Antonio Brown Raiders jersey to flash his sex trafficking badge.
You deserve in prison, Bordy. You need to be in prison for at least a couple years.
To elaborate on my Future thing, like,
please don't.
Who is he making music for? Like, it's the most toxic music ever. I used to love it, obviously, but I'm not that guy anymore. Like, it is so, like...
Just because you're not that guy anymore doesn't mean... Like, just like Future, Bordy, there's an idea that
people don't... Future is not even that guy. Future admits he's not that guy anymore. He doesn't drink lean, fucking pot Molly, and that's the verses. He goes, drink lean, pot Molly.
Bordy, you don't think there's still... toxic TikTok high schoolers out in Johnson that are bumping Future every single day and they're hot Audis. Their daddy dick breath got them on the way to their nice ass high school. That's who's listening to Future and Vivi because he can't grow up.
It sounded very personal. Petey Spanks.
That's not who this music is for at all.
Thank you.
This music is from people from Atlanta.
Jordan Lucas just very quietly dropped album of the year. Okay?
Oh my God.
Let me send you a couple songs. You'll love. I'm telling you. Did you listen to it, Ralph?
I listened to Black Lock. It's the only song I listened to. Was I'm Ill.
And was that not one of the hardest songs you've heard in the past week?
So this is my response to it. Definitely not in the last week because I've listened to explicitly Future for the last week. But when I listen to that kind of music, Mike, it's hard for me to, as you know, as a 26-year-old guy, despite Petey and Bordy saying I can't change, they are right to a certain degree because it's hard for me to start liking a new artist. He's been around for 10, 11, however many years. When those kinds of guys come up on my playlist, it's Freddie Gibbs. All right. That's a guy who rappity raps. I fucking love rappity rap. Don't get me wrong. I love lyrics. I love storytelling. I love all that stuff. I don't just listen to trap
stories.
I know. But because I already have like so many of those guys occupying that space in my heart, Kendrick being one of them, Conway the Machine, Benny the Butcher, West Side Gun, really all of Griselda, even like I'll listen to Action Bronson. Sure, like those guys already have me. It's going to be really hard for another rappity rap guy to win me over. They have to be fucking exceptional. And I don't think that song that I heard was exceptional. It's the same thing that applies to trap music. It's like I might like one or two songs from a SoundCloud artist here or a Spotify rap person that pops up out of nowhere there. but I'm not going to like go through their entire album.
Yeah,
be
it's
like,
gonna
this
blow
is my
your
shit.
World.
Like I've had Future in my life for literally 10 years now, and it's like that's my guy. He's always been my guy. Drake's
that.
The same way.
It's like your weighted blanket.
I liked I'm Ill. I thought that was a good song. I liked it on Spotify, so it'll return on my playlist and stuff. But I'm not like, holy shit, this is as good as Harold's or Crime Pays by Freddie Gibbs. Like I'm just gonna go to Gibbs over and over when I want that kind of music.
No, I'm obviously blown it out of proportion a little bit, but I.
You never do that, with, though. At the NC State fandom, like, come on. Like, this is all very real.
Yeah, no,
team.
Listen, I'm a very passionate guy. I'm a very all-in or all-out guy.
And that's why we love
But listen, I dabbled in an album. For what I was talking about the past couple of pods with rap being not where it is, I had no idea that even dropped. And I listened to the whole thing yesterday and today, and I was shocked at how well it was done. I've always been a Joyner fan, but...
Gotcha.
Yeah. I think that's either, I think that's either, enough.
Say,
this
yeah, enough for Joyner. Just dabble, and we'll move on.
I think we're going to be surprised. We'll be surprised.
Okay, moving into the bright spot of the podcast is our draft today.
Oh,
it's the most scandalous sports incidents that have happened in our lifetimes. Actually, they don't have to be in our lifetimes. They could have happened before.
Let's fucking go.
But this is, it's just a great opportunity for us to not celebrate, but just remember, like, you know, sports is... At the end of the day, it's
the liars, the great liars, the cheats.
It prints money. Petey's a Gridian right now because he's so excited to talk about just fucked up institutions.
Hey.
So we're going to go through all of them.
With a white tee.
I am randomizing the list.
Every bully in every Disney Channel show.
From Sky High.
I was a white bully. I was a bully. My mom was telling a story the other day, and she went into my priest when I was in like sixth grade. And my priest was trying to call me a bully, and my mom just was like, she was like, Peter is not a bully. Peter is, my sweet Peter is not a bully.
Meanwhile, you're telling
fucking
kids 15 fucking...
years later.
Yeah, you probably
yeah, I'm calling,
on
I'm
kids.
Calling them all fat bitch. Like, yeah, eat that ho-ho, you fat fucking bitch. I'm just fucking on everyone. And then fucking 15,
just an
16 years later.
Legend.
Hand up, mom. Hand up.
I
was fucking bullying all those fucks.
She's like, what?
Taking their fucking lunch money.
And hand up, mom. Look who's the fat bitch now, right here.
All right.
God, so all the
Petey,
kids I bullied are doing so
around,
much better than me.
Petey is the first pick. Bordy is the second pick. Cerrone is the third pick. And I have the fourth pick. So I'll have the snake turn.
This is one that I came up on during researching. And it happened during the 1994 Olympics, and it was a skating incident. Does anyone know what I'm referring to?
Yeah, it was Nancy Kerrigan. That was my pick.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Found
so I didn't,
it. Took it.
God damn.
Yeah, I
didn't even know this
I didn't
happened.
Know about this? I had no idea. No idea. I'm just walking around the world, all peeing shit, all happy, right? But little did I know, back in 1994, who was it that got beat the fuck up? Nancy Kerrigan.
Nancy
ass
Kerrigan.
Whooped. Yeah, Nancy Kerrigan and this girl named Tanya were basically, I think they were on the same team. And Tanya was like pissed and jealous at her and wanted to win the Olympics 1994. And she literally hired two fuckheads to beat the shit out of her. So Nancy got done with practice, took her little cleats off or whatever the fuck you want to call skates.
Skates, Jesus.
And she got her ass whooped. She got her fucking ass whooped.
With a lead pipe.
That's
with a
crazy.
Lead pipe to
what?
The knee.
Yes.
A lead pipe. It's a B.O.B. Lyric.
She got her
with that
ass
lead
whooped.
Pipe. Call me Nancy Kerrigan.
All right, so
that's
two things.
Crazy.
One, there's a Margot Fucked. Robbie movie that she produced called I, Tonya
oh,
that is
yeah.
about this. It's a great film.
Yes.
The second thing is another movie-related thing. You guys remember Blades of Glory? You know, Will Ferrell and John Hader are like teammates. This is kind of that situation, P, where they're both trying to qualify for the Olympics, and they're both from America, they're from the same country. So they're not teammates, but they're a part of the same team, but they're both competing. Only one can get the gold, and then another one gets silver or bronze, right?
Yeah.
This is like in Blades of Glory, where Amy Poehler and Will Arnett, like, they can, I think they like handcuff John Hader's
necklace.
Hands behind his back, and he's got the key on that toilet paper, and he has to eat the toilet paper to get the key, and it's just the most nasty thing ever. That was completely ripped from that incident right there. So that's just like a funny little bit of Will Ferrell history. But yeah, I mean, it's you know, figure skating. You wouldn't anticipate something like this scandal is happening in that kind of world, but
it's actually
everybody's competitive
fucked.
And they go to some seriously fucked up lengths
so fucked.
For that competition.
Yeah.
Thanks, Viv. There's our translator. I basically just spurt out some stuff that happened, and Viv's like, this is actually what happened. He just doesn't know what he's saying.
Well, so.
Stay tuned, Viv. I just wanted to say some movie influences that came from it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yes. Nice.
It's crazy too, because you would think with your red backwards hat that you would be the smart one too.
No idea.
All right, Bordy, you're up.
All right. So the first pick came from that competitive urge. True to myself, I'm gonna take a pussy hound. All right.
Nice.
I'm taking fucking Tiger Woods, baby.
Yep.
Nice. Absolutely fucking every single European model in the world.
Yep. Sure was.
Cheating the fuck out of his wife.
Sure was.
No regard for anybody. Just the best golfer in the world. Popping pills, getting drunk, and just fucking models, man.
Xanax.
And then, of course, the golf world is rocked by this.
Xanax and birdies.
Because... Of course, the poster boy of golf is just a fucking puss hound, right? He's fucking everybody. Just absolute scenes.
Bordy's like, he's fucking everybody. Dude. I wish I could be fucking everybody, God. Man.
And Bordy's celebrating.
There's a little bit of pain in that.
There's no scandal here for Bordy. Bordy's just like, this guy just, Bordy's like, this guy ruled too hard? Like, what's wrong with that? Like, he was just too cool?
Now, you guys not remember? This was a huge deal. Like,
his wife took a golf club to his
fucking car. And, like, he was out of golf for, like, 10 years.
Yeah, Bordy wishes he could live that life.
What's crazy? Golf guys get the best ass. I've been watching that Full Swing. God, dude, the wife's on that. Like Cerrone went cross-eyed the other night for 24 hours.
I'm still kind of getting out of it a little.
I think it was Jenna Koepka. Jenna Koepka. I say that name, it goes cross-eyed.
Jenna Koepka.
Well, with Tiger, it's like, that's like if that happened, like he wasn't just the poster boy for golf.
That's like, LeBron did that.
He was the savior of golf. Golf was getting a little bit stale there, like in the mid 90s, and it wasn't the most popular sport. It wasn't even like one of like the five most popular sports. And then he bursts onto the scene and he just completely electrifies it
as an 18-year-old, like just a young kid. So everybody saw him as a youngin',
as a fucking
prodigy. Saw him
taller.
Right. We watched him grow up into this legend, a living legend that was at the top of his game. And then not only did it lead to that, it also led to the car accident where his back is like fucked up for good. And he already had back problems prior to that. But then once you get in the accident, it's like, oh, dude, he might be done for good. And that's like, I mean, imagine like Kobe had the case in Colorado and that was, you know, that was a national headline. But Tiger like had the, remember the decision that LeBron had on ESPN that was like, an hour scheduled for him. They did the same thing for Tiger Woods' apology press conference.
Yep.
I remember watching my mom like just like after school one day. I'm like, holy shit.
It was
like,
so sad.
It was shame in his eyes. And
apologizing for an hour. Well,
that big thing in that Tiger documentary. That's the big thing in that Tiger documentary is that apology was like a big deal. Like it was like the most shameful. It's the most, if you go back and watch it, it's the most shameful apology ever. Like straight up, like literally taking lashings in public.
Just
for being a sex addict, man. Just for something like I know like four or five sex addicts, but
well, it wasn't just sex. I mean, it was alcohol. It was alcohol and drug abuse too. Like those both tied into it as well. And that was the thing. It's like when it happened, I think people were genuinely shocked. Like the Jordan thing happening. With a gambling, it's like that makes sense. We all knew he liked to gamble. Like he had talked about it before. He had done the interview with the sunglasses on. He's like, I'm not addicted to gambling. I'm just really good at it, or whatever it was. With Tiger, it was like, whoa, what the fuck? Tiger? Like really?
That comes from knowing him as an 18-year-old. You know him as a babyface kid, and then he hits the peak, boom, sex addict. Just kind of I feel like we might have a few other sex addict picks in. Let's see what Cerrone's got for us.
Yep, you're up, Mikey.
All right. Well, I'm gonna step it on a lighter note here, and I'm gonna go with Ray Lewis never killing anybody.
Ray Lewis not killing somebody is scandal.
You wanna tear him down in the top of his career. You wanna fucking convict him of doing something. You wanna take his freedom from his own kids. Well, guess what? Ray Lewis is going to go out there, prove himself innocent, and then go get another ring. So fuck off, everybody who didn't believe. But yeah, guy proven innocent, not guilty. I saw with my own two eyes.
Guilty as hell. That is crazy.
Proven innocent in court.
That is crazy. They did win a ring that year. And there's a you've definitely seen this. I know you've seen it. What was his suspension?
On HBO. What did he get? 4 games.
Several years after, but he did come back and win a ring. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know it's a shame because those families out there still don't know who did it.
All right.
Unbelievable.
We all know who did it, but yeah.
You think it might have been the guy that when he broke his arm, or what did he do? He like tore his tricep before the Super Bowl, the second Super Bowl. He tore his tricep, and instead of just like getting surgery like a normal person would, he like inhaled deer antler spray and like sprayed it all over himself. He's like, fuck,
that's when you hammer the Ravens.
That's when you know he killed someone.
Ray Lewis. If you got Ray Lewis inhaling deer antler spray, yeah, no one's stopping him. Yeah, they're going all the way.
We need more guys like that in the league still. All right. So, on top of that,
more Ray Rices?
I've got two picks.
We got guys betting on their own unders.
I think we got plenty of Ray Rices in the league.
I'm going to go
set the tone.
Sorry, go ahead. You know, another guy that definitely killed people. I'm going to take Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
Jesus now, Christ.
I mean, you know, the second tight end on a dynasty team. Right, never won a Super Bowl, Aaron Hernandez. But he was like, all right, he was
George Kittle. He was a Mexican George Kittle.
Yes, he was a very, very good football player. He was so good that like Belichick was like, you can put him at fullback, you can put him at running back, you can put him anywhere.
They gave his crazy ass like 15 mil a year.
So it's just my second pick, you know, and it's not as big of a deal, but I just think it was hilarious the circumstances that it had led to, and really like the chain reaction that's happened since it. Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole square in the fucking face in the middle of a practice before the season starts. It completely tanked Jordan Poole's entire career. He has not been the same player since. This is after they won a championship.
Still getting paid.
And I don't think it would have been that big of an issue. It would have been an issue, but I don't think it would have been as big of an issue if one of the people in the Warriors management team, their crew, didn't leak the video. Once everybody saw that the video was leaked, it was like, this season is a wrap. They tried to battle their way through it. They tried to like combat it. And the conversations that have happened since then, Draymond on the record, Jordan Poole on and off the record, it's just been hilarious to watch. And so it's a little bit more lighthearted than murder and, you know, women getting their knees beat in by a pipe. But Jordan,
I thought you were going to go back to back murders.
No, I didn't want to do that.
Still. You know, that's still up in the air.
Yeah, at least my guy's
future murderer.
The jury is definitely still out on Draymond. but yeah, all right, Cerrone. Well, and you know what's funny about that? Now Jordan Poole is just killing the Wizards because he has maybe the worst contract in all of basketball. So it is murder to a certain extent.
The Wizards got plenty of money. Who else are they fucking paying?
Kyle Kuzma, they're paying him $30 million. Huh? Jordan Poole, $30 million. Denny Advia, $18 million. They're paying, I mean, like, just the worst contract in basketball.
NC State has actually won more games in the Wizards arena than the Wizards this year.
Really? God, that's so sad.
They don't even play there. That's
so sad, dude.
Oh, my God.
How does that even make any sense? Is that true? How does that make any sense? That's true?
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, the Wizards have only won a few home games.
Yeah, NC State just destroyed.
Oh, my God.
I actually didn't see that stat. That's ridiculous. All right, Cerrone, you're back up. Are you going with another Raven here? I mean, you got plenty of Ravens still on the board.
Let me check my draft board here.
The AFC North is just loaded in this draft.
I could go another Raven, but I'm not. I'm going to take it on a little fun loop and talk about LeBron James banging Delonte West.
Nice.
Banging LeBron's mom.
Great pick.
Nice.
For all intended purposes, I believe happened.
Yep.
You know, we don't know. It could have. Just talk about an all-time scumbag move.
She's not even hot. Gloria's not an attractive person. Like, period.
Yeah.
Like, she's not hot at all. I don't get it.
Yeah. Disgusting. And whether it's true or not true, caused quite the ruffling in upbringing in the league. And I don't know, Ralph is a LeBron connoisseur. What did that happen or no?
Yeah, I mean, there were things like, you know, once the fans found out, they were like trying to break up the tension. And you know what's weird about Delonte West? Good player, like a very good player, but has obviously had issues since he left the league with addiction to drugs and things of that nature. And Gloria growing up, like she had LeBron at 16 years old with a guy that we don't even know who it is. That's the craziest backdrop of all time, like not being able to own up to being LeBron's dad. Insane. But Gloria had drug issues prior to having LeBron. And so there's like some kind of insinuation there that perhaps they were, you know, fucked up of like crack or something like that when they banged. And that's just
nice. Nice.
They found love in a hopeless place.
Well, I'll tell you what, the most recent Delonte West would be lucky to go even sniff that ass. Have you seen him wandering the streets of fucking Texas down there? You guys probably saw him while you were knocking down there.
Oh, I saw. You're talking about like the viral video of him.
Mark Cuban really, is like trying to like rescue him and shit.
Yeah, pretty fucked. I mean, I don't know.
It is sad. Yeah. All right, moving on. Here we go.
All right, Bordy, you're all back right, up. Nice brighten here it up, Bordy.
I wonder what could be next.
Oh God, I actually lost mine,
Nicholas.
Through all that,
oh boy.
You lost it. Oh God!
No! I remember.
Look at him scanning his reservoir of fucked up shit. He's like, well, I was
looking
him
for my next pick because obviously I got another pick return, and this one hits home. A cheating scandal that affected me personally, and that's the Houston Astros sign stealing program.
Talk
about a scandal! They got two world
that year.
No, it felt like I was on the team when Altuve hit that extra innings home run off Chapman. I mean, Chapman throws 102, right? Tough to face. But when you know the breaking ball is coming, you're sending that shit at least 350. And that's what Altuve did. Extra innings to send us home in the ALCS. And then they just kicked our ass the next few years in the ALCS. Just something that turned the point of history. That home run will never beat the Astros. I'm going back to another World Series anytime soon. I know you guys aren't big baseball fans, but the Astros cheating scandal literally rocked the Yankees. And now we're just low bro. It turned us into low bro. And now they've been a dynasty. They're still good, even though they're not cheating. And we were probably cheating too, but it just hurt, man. Something about baseball, knowing the pitch that's coming. I mean, in football, you can scheme and know what play is coming, kind of. But using, like, cameras to get the pitch in and stealing the signs, it's just – I don't really think it – was totally illegal by like rules. I mean, get it how you live, you know, you take every opportunity you can, but just a personal one for me that really set me back as a baseball fan.
Two different kinds of cheating on Bordy's board. That's pretty versatile by you there, Bordy. All right, Petey, you're up. You got two in a row.
I'm up?
Yep, back to back.
Well, I wish I could have gotten the Tiger Woods one because my notes for that were literally Tiger Woods and Xanax. Yeah. So I wish I could have gotten that one. Colin's not going for me. But we're going to go back to 1919, boys. Shoeless Joe Jackson and seven buddies for the White Sox. They literally threw the 1919 World Series game. Black Sox. My bad. The Black Sox.
No, they are the White Sox, but this team is known as the Black Sox.
The Black Sox. They literally threw a World Series for a payout of $5,000. $5,000 in 1919. Yes.
Yeah.
Him and seven buddies. So what is that ahead? You know, somebody used the quick math.
$5,000 between seven people?
Yes.
That's like a grand a person.
Yeah. $750
$850.
It's like $1,000 a person.
Anyways, yeah, Shoeless Joe Jackson and the Black Sox scandal. Literally throwing the World Series. I mean, come on, dude. $5,000? That's crazy. Right. You know, like things happened before 2000 when we were all like, you know, there was a lot of things that happened.
They threw a lot of other games too. I think it was kind of the season leading up.
All right.
Well, not through because they made it to the World Series. You can't throw many games and make it to the World Series. But
and people theorize about that all the time with like heavyweight fights, like even in Pulp Fiction. Like, you know, Ving Rhames' character, Marcellus, is like, hey, listen, Butch, you're going down in the fourth. Like, say it again.
Your ass goes down in the fourth.
Which one?
Moneyball.
Where he plays the Irish Mick that throws
Gladiator.
Snatch.
Fight Club.
Oh, Snatch is a who's that director? I love the director.
Guy Ritchie. Seven.
Hate him.
Guy Ritchie goes nuts.
All right, here's my next one. Bordy. Go ahead, Bordy brought it up. Bordy brought it up at the beginning of the pod. And the 2000 Sydney Paralympics. They had a team, and they basically faked that they had mentally handicapped people on their team. Just to win like, the fucking Paralympics.
The movie The Ringer with Johnny Knox. All right, thank God we're throwing it back to Bordy for another pick here.
Yeah, so back to Bordy. And we're going to go with O.J. Simpson. Just kidding.
It had a good take.
No, that wasn't even really a scandal. That was just fair, you know, that cheating ass bitch.
Yeah, he killed him.
Let's go Bounty Gate. Talk about just something that should have been, like, fined by everybody. Like, you can't throw DeMario Davis a few more bones for taking somebody out of the game.
Are you talking about the New Orleans Saints and their program where they're, like, hit somebody as hard as possible? Yeah.
I should explain it better. The Saints had a bounty system to where if you took him out on a cart, you got $10,000. If you took him out of the game, you got $5,000. If they had to just go to the sideline, you got like a measly like $500. But talk about incentive, man. Like,
I mean, Udoka like had like, never mind. Okay.
What, fuck enough of your players, your teammates' wives, and you get a bonus? What's
Udoka doing?
No, like he has some kind of incentive, I know, for like charges taken, but that's totally different.
What did Udoka do?
We still don't know.
Never came out with that.
They still haven't leaked.
Serious?
All we know is that Nia Long was his wife, and she is no longer his wife. And apparently it was a member of the Celtics staff. It wasn't like Jason Tatum's girlfriend or anything like that. It was a member of the staff. Yeah. And they didn't say if it was a relationship or an assault or what it would have been. But from my understanding, it was a relationship that just was inappropriate and wasn't supposed to happen because they have a rule in their bylaws, the Boston Celtics specifically, that you aren't allowed to date other staff members. And he explicitly broke that. And so it's more just like a Boston thing. It's like, hey, we've had these rules in place for however many years.
Somebody
don't break
fucked
them.
Red Auerbach's daughter or something way back in the day. And he's like, no. Like, Bill Russell gave her that.
But like, you know, Phil Jackson like dated Jeannie Buss. Like, that was a conflict of interest there too. But the Lakers don't have the same rule because the Lakers are like, we were hippies in the 70s and 80s. We were doing coke and being crazy.
Getting it.
All right, I think I'm back up. Cerrone's back up and then I close.
Okay, give me...
Give us something good.
Three spot. All right, give me... Oh, I'm surprised it hasn't been taken yet. Give me Mike Vick and dogfighting.
Yep, that was mine.
Yeah, give me... I remember as a kid coming home and that, like, breaking the news and just being so fucking lost. I didn't know what dogfighting was.
We were like, what a dog... Yeah, what is dogfighting?
Yeah, I was...
You just look
I was,
at your dog, kid, like, he's like, not fighting nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like,
I was like...
My dog would get fucked
like,
up.
What the fuck is going on? I was like, this guy, he's been... Killing dogs, like just having fun. I didn't even think it was that bad at first, but I guess it's pretty bad. But yeah, that just fucking. It was also like he was like at the peak of like it's pretty much untouchable at that point. And again, just like Ray Lewis, face controversy came back. And I remember that first game back on the Eagles throwing that absolute bomb to DeSean Jackson. He still balled out
like
a little
70
bit.
70 fantasy points that game.
Yeah, it was just insane.
How long did he go to jail for?
It was like 2 or 3 years.
No, yeah, I think
he's
on
for two, two or three years.
Decent while, yeah.
Yeah, and he still came back slinging. So I got to give it to him. Made his, you know, did his time, and then made some money, more money at the end. But yeah, talk about throwing a wrench in his career. I mean, I wonder what he would have been without that. Probably fucking.
Yeah.
Maybe a rent. Yeah, you never know.
We're talking about Jordan's retirement for 2 years, and it's like, well, what would have happened if Vic was still around for 2 years at the peak of his powers? Because, like, remember Eagles Mike Vic? He was a ridiculous thrower of the ball. And in Atlanta, he had a great arm, but, like, it was his legs that he relied on. That 2 years, like, think about that. 2 years in quarterback years, it's like that experience is so valuable for that player.
Yeah. Watson is done. Watson went from a top five QB to nothing.
Yep.
In 2 years.
That's honestly crazy that he came back after 2 years just being in the pen. Just like
2 years
playbook.
Like
game
in
plan,
jail.
All that. Let's go.
Like you're not going through progressions. You're not going through
probably,
your reads.
Working the whole
you're
time.
In jail. Or you're in court, you know, like with the Watson thing. Who you rather be? Who is going to have the better seat? Mike Vick or Watson?
Mike Vick.
Mike Vick.
All day.
Yeah. It was dogs. It wasn't humans.
Okay, but he wasn't diddling dogs.
Yeah, but like
those dogs were dying. Like, one of those dogs dies every match.
Michael Vick is on ESPN right now. Like he is like on their like Monday Night Football.
You don't think they'll put Watson's hands in the ass on fucking Fox?
No,
not a chance.
Not in this cancer culture, buddy. He's fucked. Mm-mm. He's he was never that good. I mean, he was good, but like Mike Vick was like unreal.
He can't even get a guest spot on the Pop Off Pod. Like we wouldn't even put him on here.
Okay.
All right. I've got the last pick. I'm gonna go. You know, there's two different directions I could go here. I think the more famous one is definitely Gilbert Arenas and Javaris Crittenden bringing guns to the locker room. But instead, I'm going to go with one I think is a little bit less popular, but I think it's hilarious, especially as a coach. No, not cocaine.
No.
You guys know who Latrell Sprewell was?
Oh, yeah.
Shooting guard, played for the Knicks, played for the Warriors, Timberwolves, made All-NBA 1 year, like a good shooting guard, right? Like I would comp him to not play style, but like probably like as famous back then as like DeMar DeRozan has been like the last 10 years, somewhere around there. When he was playing under PJ Carlissimo, who was a coach in the NBA for 30 something years, ended up working on ESPN NBA. Just a great guy by all accounts, but like kind of a weirdo a little bit. Well, during a practice, Draymond punched Jordan Poole. Imagine choking out your own coach. That's what Latrell Sprewell did to PJ Carlissimo. He was pissed at him for like the lack of playing time, not involving him enough in the system. And he literally just put him in a fucking chokehold. And it wasn't like a buddy, buddy, haha, I got you in a chokehold. It was like, no, I'm trying to suffocate you and choke you out because I'm so fucking pissed at you. So
that
just
actually
like
happens a lot, man. I've met some coaches that won't let like kids stand behind them, like take a knee behind them. Because, they'll just fucking attack them.
That was a Brody grown up. Okay, this is the NBA.
But like, I mean, at Brody and then in the NBA, it's the same kids.
I hear you. Yeah, they're troubled.
No, I don't think so. These guys are grown adults. So Charles Spurrell should not have done that. He was like probably 26 years old when he did that. I would never choke.
What
like,
did the coach
the guy that at? Handles my minutes?
It's just what are you going to get out of that? Like, what
I'm looking
are,
at. There's a graphic you got to pull up, and it's a picture of Latrell Sprewell and then PJ Carlissimo, and it's a PJ's neck, and it's like bloody and like bruised. You got to pull that one up if you want to.
It's fucked.
It's bad. Like, look it up. It's really bad. He looks like a fucking demon, just attacked his neck, and just like was it was not good.
Honorable mention: Jerry Sandusky.
Agreed.
O.J. Simpson, Jerry Sandusky. I mean, these aren't really honorable mentions. These are more like
kids.
These are deplorable mentions. Yes, dishonorable. Tom Brady and his kids.
John Gruden being racist.
What Brady do to his kids? Kissing his kids? Is that a scandal?
Making out with
his kids.
Yeah.
Lip to lip. Tongue to tongue.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
You drafted that one.
He just wanted to bring it back up so he could lie some more. He just wanted more lying to be done.
All right, people's careers.
Tim Donahue.
Tim Donahue. Lance
Armstrong.
Me and Peter
on the same article, obviously.
Yeah, sounds about right. All right, well, hey, thank you guys for listening. And if you did listen to this, keep it as close to your chest as possible. Whatever you do, do not share this.
Don't send this one to friends and family.
Don't send it to a friend. Don't send it to a family member. Thank you for signing up for the Patreon. We'll do one of these a month, but that's it. Maybe maybe more like one a quarter. But this has been psychotic. And you know what? Like, might have been a sign from God that Petey went missing from the positive 40 for four weeks. So
we'll come on once a month for this.
We're going to separate the two of you is what we're going to do. We're going to do a programming adjustment because this is just insane. Like,
You two down there are just a couple of church boys.
Compared to you two, absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm a disciple.
Yeah, definitely. You're a fucking real altar boy.
We love you, and we will see you on the other side. Hopefully. Peace out.
I'm loving the pop-offs.